This is the Final Round Podcast, coming to you live from the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt. Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to what I'd like to be welcoming everybody to the 31st lap. Turns out Final Round Drag Racing Podcast is on. There was a little bit of a scheduling confusion here at Finger Lakes One, so we are here with Final Round, but it, like the well-oiled machine that Final Round Podcast is, we've got guests lined up and everybody's here, ready to entertain you for the next hour or so. Appreciate everybody tuning in to hang out with us for a little while. Jason Oldfield making the trip in. Glad you could make it.
Hey, no problem, Chris. last minute, but no problem. It works.
What else would you possibly be doing on a Thursday night?
Watching football. Going to watch my kids' volleyball games.
Why did you go to the volleyball game?
It's all right. It's a commitment, man. It's a commitment. We got to make this a great show.
I appreciate you coming. I wouldn't have guessed that you were going to skip the skip the volleyball game.
Nah, no big deal.
There's more coming, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There'll definitely be more.
So we're going to be talking about the event that Western New York Super Rod Association had here. It was last weekend, right?
Correct.
Last weekend over Labor Day weekend. We're catching up with John Sear a little bit later on. Talk about his action over there at Empire Dragway. And then we're also going to be catching up with, before we do all of that, the one and only Rapid Randy has joined us from South Butler Nostalgia Dragway. Appreciate you making the trip up, man.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Swing that microphone in a little bit so everybody can hear you.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a little bit better. We might have to adjust that on the fly as we go. But you guys had an eventful weekend there. It was at the end of August.
Yes.
Having a couple records set.
Yes.
People going insanely fast on the 10th mile.
Yes.
Going into the event, the speed record at South Butler was 113 flat, correct?
Right.
And then it was broke three times in one day. And it ultimately ended up with the initial track record holder getting it back.
Yes.
But he improved from 113 flat to 118.
Yes.
And change?
Right around 118, yeah.
118.
Yep.
118 on a 10th mile, that's about as wide as your desk, Jason.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. was he trying to, I guess, increase the speed record from 113 to 118?
It's a great story.
Well, you know what the deal was, is one of our club members, John Fry, took his Camaro down, and he raced it.
Yeah.
And he broke the first record that was held by Brandon DeSanto with his Dodge pickup.
Okay.
And the old one was 113. Then he went like 113.9 with his Camaro. So then another guy comes out. I think his name was Ron David. He had an old Chevy Monza. Then he broke John's record and went like 114.7. So Brandon and his father are there at the track, but they didn't bring the truck. They're just you know, spectators.
Right.
Right. So after they see this, Brandon gets all excited and says, "Dad, let's go get the truck. We don't want our record broken."
Okay.
So they go home. They actually had to do some work on the truck. Put it back, you know, put it on a trailer.
Yeah.
They get over there about like 1:30. And when they pulled in, I mean, you know, the crowd just, they went crazy because they know that truck.
Right.
They know he's the previous record holder.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, he just literally backs it off the, you know, the trailer.
Yep.
Goes out, doesn't do a practice run or nothing. And just out of the blue, he's doing 118. it's like crazy. I mean, the crowd just went crazy.
Right. Right. Know? Now, this was this past Sunday.
Yeah. It was the last Sunday of August.
The last Sunday of August. Okay. Yeah.
So week before your race.
Yeah. Okay.
Now envision South Butler. South Butler Nostalgia Dragway is exactly what it sounds like. It's a nostalgia dragway. It's not like Empire. It's the way that racing used to be.
Right.
You know, narrow lanes with the grass, you know, on the edge of the track. And the track originally when it was built was a quarter mile. So what's left beyond the finish line is what's left of the original quarter mile track where nature has reclaimed the surface.
Right.
So at 118 miles an hour, he's got to find a way to slow this thing down. And I can't even imagine what that ride was like. But you said it was arrow straight.
It was. I mean, that truck is just like it's on rails. It's just straight and fast.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Chris, if you can't find like a Google Maps image to throw up on screen for everybody to see, just so you could see what we're... Now, I don't know. It all depends on how old the satellite imagery is, right?
Because right.
The satellite images from 10 years ago would probably look very scary, would guess. But, Mike give a good bird's eye view, essentially, of exactly what these...
Let me see what we can find.
What was that?
Let me see what we can find. But I've done it before.
Oh, sure. But that's definitely, that's pretty cool that you had that kind of excitement basically brewing.
It was very exciting.
Yeah. Now, was that the last race day for the year, or do you have one more?
One more.
Okay.
Last Sunday of September.
And obviously the weather's getting cooler.
It is getting cooler.
So the air will be better.
Yes. We might see faster ones. I don't know. I was really just like astonished that he just blew it away. I mean, 5 miles an hour is like huge.
Right. Well, I was just going to say.
Even for his old record, you know.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, he went out and so let's assume it was 114.7, I think. Then he went out and went 118 something.
Right.
I mean, better air. The guy that went 114.7 is not going to be able to go 118 with better air without doing something else to the
car. He's going to have to do some modifications, yeah. But, I mean, it was, you know, it was a nice day. It was sunny, but it was cool. It was in the 70s. It wasn't hot, really hot, you know, so that helped.
Oh, sure, yep. But, okay, so Chris actually has at least one picture up there.
These are photos that are from the August race. And it's posted by South Butler Nostalgia Dragway, so it's their photos.
Okay. But that's, I mean, if you look right there, I mean, that's pretty crazy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, if you read some of the comments there on the Facebook page, they're really funny. It's like one guy says, like, it's the only drag strip you'll ever go and see green bins next to it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Next to the starting line. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's that is pretty incredible.
And this was the first year with the new timing and scoring system and the new tree, right?
Right.
So they did all those upgrades, and so new timing system. It's not like it's a glitch. You know what I mean? That was legit speed.
Right. Yeah, that is, and I have to say, I mean, there you can see it right there with the Camaro on the line. I mean, how much room there is to spare on either side of the car. I mean,
how much played into? I mean, obviously that Dakota pickup or the Dodge pickup truck wasn't just some plain Jane V6.
No, it's
Dodge
a
Dakota. It's had a little bit of work done to it. But how wide did that sit in the lane? You know what I mean? Like think about how wide those lanes are. And it was late in the day. He said it was 1:30. So you guys had about an hour and a half or so left in the racing day. So there's plenty of passes put down. How did rubber going down affect his ability to get grip? I mean, to back it off the trailer and go 118 just because is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's probably some good rubber laid down already, but, I mean, that truck is just extremely straight and fast. It's just the best way you can describe it, you know. He's not all over the place. Like, you know, some of them get out of shape.
Right.
You know, but he's just straight as an arrow.
Now, that's a full-size pickup?
Yeah, a full-size pickup. It's like a short box.
Okay, yeah, all right.
But, he's I mean, that truck is heavily modified. It's
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and he races it elsewhere. I don't know exactly where, but there was actually an article in the Wayne County Times about it. If you look it up, you can read about it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, my car will go in the quarter mile. I think the best I've gone was 938, 144. And the eighth mile, I've never raced 10th mile. And the eighth mile, I think when I went all out, I think I went 115. So, I mean, now you shorten the track up from eighth mile to 10th mile, and he's still going faster than I was. So... Yeah, that truck is definitely moving.
It's fast. There's no question about it.
Now, do you know what that truck has in it for a power plant?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. But
normally aspirated, to your knowledge?
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm curious if he's got any nitrous on that?
No, because you can't run it there.
You can't run nitrous at your track, right?
Nope.
So, and well, you'd know if it was supercharged or if it was a turbo. I mean, you'd hear it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not turbo. It could be supercharged. I don't know, but
My guess is you'd know if it was.
Yeah, you don't hear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
it's so. Definitely, you know, but yeah, that truck's fast.
So he's got himself a pretty good power plant under the hood, for sure.
Yeah, it's healthy.
So how is the weather held out for you? Obviously, the beginning of this year was really crappy. Over the last, I feel like the weather's been halfway decent over the last month or so. But when you're only talking one race a month, it's like, if you just happen to get unlucky and it rained on the day you were scheduled to be racing.
Yeah, right. No, knock on wood, the weather has been very good.
Well, that's very,
the one race we had about, I don't know, not even 15, 20 minutes, a rain shower come in.
Uh-huh.
But it was a warm day. It was sunny right after that. The track dried up, and we went racing again. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
We were
attendance
lucky.
Has been good, both from a car and spectator standpoint. And
yes, it was good. This last race, we had a lot of racers. It was almost full in the pits. And the spectator side's been very good too. It's not completely full, but it's well attended. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a cool show for sure.
It is. It is.
And the way you guys run the show as well, allow the spectators to come out and basically let's call it have a picnic at the racetrack.
Sure.
Right? Sit there and watch some races at the same point in time. It's pretty neat. Oh, what was that overhead view that we just had?
Well, this is South Butler Conquest Road near Taylor Road, and I found an overhead shot of a bunch of grain bins. So I think I'm close, but I can't find the racetrack.
Well, there's a lot of farm country there. You might have.
Well, this was the pin that was dropped on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So I feel like we got to be close, but I can't quite find it.
Yeah, we get a lot of people, first timers that come out and they love it. They say we'll be back.
Well, I could definitely see that, and I know you and I have talked when you've been on the show in the past, and when we haven't been on the show, just chatting, if you will, that it definitely sounds like a cool, really cool deal.
It is. It's cool. It's fun. It's just a lot of fun.
Now the next, so there's one race in September. Is that is that the 23rd?
It's the
24th.
Hang on.
I
got the whole schedule right here.
Because I think the 30th, if I remember correctly, I think the 30th is a Saturday. And you guys are running Sundays, right?
Right, I believe that's correct, yeah.
So, and it is the last Sunday of September.
Of September.
So,
yep.
The 24th, right?
24th.
Yeah, it is right there.
Yep. That usually turns out to be a good race, too, in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out. Well, there's a possibility I might be at Dragway 42 in Ohio, but if not, I'd like to try to come out and see the last race.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to see. I have to say, I got the Corvette out last weekend for the first time this year, and car goes nice and straight. I mean, I think I could make it down the track for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't challenge the mile an hour record. We've already established that. But it would definitely be fun to make a pass down historic track that, right?
Exactly.
I wonder what I'm curious. 8th mile, so 10th mile's 594. So, geez, I wonder what. I mean, I guess it would have to be. I'd probably have to be close to 110 miles an hour or so, but
we get a lot of them in that range.
Yeah,
110, 111.
Yeah,
but
the 113s of that was definitely.
Yeah, I mean when he did that, it was like wow, that's crazy.
Now, are all these guys that have been out there? Are they all regulars?
A lot of them are. Yep.
So, the guys that were resetting the record out there, were these guys, obviously the guy with the pickup is.
The guy with the pickup is, and like I say, John Fry, he's one of the club members, so he's out there.
Okay, yeah.
And then the guy with the Monza, if he raced before, I don't recall it, or if he had something different maybe, but
okay.
I didn't recall that car before.
Yeah.
And he set the second fastest record.
Yeah.
With that.
Now you have ET clocks as well? Or just mile an hour clocks?
No, we have the ETs on there as well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious as to what the, do you know what the ET
I don't know what that is, no.
Yeah, I'm curious. But it sounds like the club overall, it's I guess the gold cup to hold on to is that I have the mile an hour record. That's oh, the, sure. That's the prize that everybody
yeah,
wants.
Yeah.
And do you have, I guess, is there a location someplace where records are kept so that it showed that, all right, let's call it the end of the 2017 season, that so-and-so was the record holder? Or
yeah, I mean, they kept, you know.
It's carved into the side of a shade tree between the silos.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, they keep the time slips, so, I mean, they know.
Yeah.
Plus, something like that you don't really forget, I mean.
Right, right.
You know,
that'll I mean, that exchange with the truck coming like that, nobody's going to forget that. That's public record now. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to forget that story about
and
that.
And, you know, truck the truck's got, it's. I believe it's Purple Passion. It's a purple truck, and it says Purple Passion on the side. So they know the truck.
Yeah.
You know.
It'd be cool. I mean, somebody must have caught it on video, right?
Yeah.
With all the people with, you know, cell phones and stuff like that with cameras integrated. I mean, somebody must have caught it on video.
Well, there's a, you know, a video guy there, Don Davis. He every race he comes and videos the whole thing.
Oh, he does?
From start to finish.
Oh, okay.
And they're available to be purchased if somebody wants them.
Oh, they do that right from the South Butler Facebook page, or
He has his own website, which I'm not 100% sure what it is, but he basically does them. It takes him a while to get them processed after the race, you know, maybe a month or two, but after that, then they're available. So,
and hopefully, I don't know for sure, but I would hope he's posting at least teaser snippets on YouTube or something like that, because. I'll tell you what, I mean, places like Bang Shift and stuff like that, they'd go crazy to see video from a historic. Oh, there's no doubt. see a historic video from a track like that? Yeah, a place like Bang Shift would be all over that. They'd be like, oh, my God, look at this track and look at these cars going.
People are
going
to be talking about how crazy you are for making passes that fast.
Right, absolutely.
Well, I remember the video that you had playing at Fanny Lake Speed World.
Yeah.
When you guys had the display up there with the ultra wheelbase Plymouth and the Ford with the big snorkel on it, the wagon.
Yep.
They had mile per hour ratings on that when the guys were coming through the lines, and some guys were in the 70s, a couple guys were pushing the mid 90s, but nobody was even close to 110, 115, you know?
No.
And it's fast.
Yeah, 120 now, right?
That's the new magic numbers. Who's going to be first to go over 120?
Right.
And who's going to be first to be able to stop it at 120?
That'll be the challenge.
Yeah, because eventually you run out of blacktop and it just turns to grass. It's just a field then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how fast cars like to stop on grass. It's easy. What's to worry about?
Blacktop underneath, right?
At some point in history it was.
It used to be.
Do you know how long the shutdown is there?
I don't know exactly what in feet how many it is, but it's I would say it's less than an eighth.
So you're thinking you got basically double the track length, you know, yeah, 10th mile to
a tenth and another tenth, maybe a little bit more than a tenth, but
okay,
not very much.
It's tight.
And after that, you're in the field.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that would probably definitely be a track that if you haven't run there before, you'd probably want to make a few test passes.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to run this one half track, just make sure everything is okay. I can stop in time.
Well, I mean, they even suggest when they have a driver's meeting to come out and walk the track. If you've never been here, just go out and walk the track so you know what you're in for.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that would certainly make sense. I mean, that's good practice regardless of the track that you go to, right? I mean, you never know what you're going to see. I mean, it's good to understand, you know, where the burnout boxes are and how long the distance is. I mean, we went to Pittsburgh racing a month and a half ago or something, And, you know, the distance there from the burnout box to the starting line is pretty short compared to what we're used to. So it's like, you know, you get up there and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, you know what? I can't do the normal burnout that I'm doing. I'm going to have to abbreviate it a little bit or get out of the throttle and, you know, not, you know, basically never even touch the brakes like I can at, pretty much at Empire. And, you know, I'll have to get on the brakes pretty hard to make sure I don't go through the line. So, yeah it's always good. That's always good practice regardless of the track. And shutdown, too. I mean, you get the end of the track. You know, in some tracks, you've never been down. It's like, you don't know. Or you turn into the left, you turn to the right when you get down to the end.
Right, right.
Is it Cecil County? I want to say it's Cecil County where you go down to the end of the track and you actually have to make a U-turn on the track and drive up the track like 50 feet to get back onto the return road. So, yeah, if you didn't know that, you're going down the track.
Just keep on going.
Well, I'm assuming the turn off is here someplace.
You'll find some place to make room.
Right. So, yeah.
How far is the track from the church? I got that far.
From the church.
Yeah, there's the Pleasant Ridge Church on the corner of Yates Road and Butler Conquest Road.
Well, I'm assuming that's a non-operational church.
I don't.
Google Maps. I don't know. I can't. I'm having trouble pinning down where the track is. I was going to try and show it from overhead, but it's all...
I don't know.
It's all farmland.
It would seem like the... You know, let's call it the church service would be kind of interrupted by drag cars if it was right near the church, right?
Oh,
it sounds like you found something.
Yep. I gotta get it dialed in here.
And that is, isn't it south?
I would think if you had Route 89 on there, I mean, it's just...
I got it.
It's just up the road.
That's right here.
Oh.
This is the silos right here. Whoops. There's the silos.
There you go. That's it.
There's the track. There's the finish lines. There's the runoff area. As you see, it slowly goes away. And you said you were just about out of room
at your last race, right? In terms of pit space and the crowd was pretty packed.
Yeah. Yep.
Now go back to that quick, Chris.
Yeah. Dead back centered. There we go.
Do me a favor and zoom in a little bit more here. So there's the silos, there's the track, and now is that still the track or is that grass at that? That's still the track.
No, it's still the track.
Line. Okay.
And as you can see, it slowly gets wavy. And then
okay, and then there's the turnoff, and
yeah. After that, it's
you're in the grass.
You're in the grass. It's not even corn. I mean, corn will slow you down, but.
Oh, good. We were able to find that.
Yeah, I guess in the end, it's, you know, go to the South Butler Facebook page, and I'm sure there's directions on how to get to the track when the spectators want to come out and watch, right?
Oh, sure, sure.
So I guess we would say from our little experience here this evening that you don't want to rely just on Google Maps to try to look it up. And, definitely take some time beforehand to make sure you have
good direction. If you use Google Maps, head west from the location it gives you, and you'll find it.
Where does it actually say South Butler Dragway, or is it?
On the sign at the racetrack.
No, I mean on Google Maps. I say I just looked up South Butler Conquest Road.
Once you turn off of 89,
it's on the right on South Butler.
It's a right hand turn, and I mean it's less than a mile down the road on the left. You can't miss it.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's basically if you go right to the intersection of 89 and 275, it's definitely within a quarter mile of that.
Yep.
And then it looks like you just. Depending upon where you were, if you were, like I said, at 75 and 89, then you start heading east, It'll be on your left-hand side, a quarter mile down. Look for the silver silos. Mm-hmm. And you hit it.
Are those still functional? Were those full of green?
They have stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on. We can't make passes for the next little bit. We got to wait for the combine to unload.
Yeah, I was saying, they look like they're in fairly good shape from... Yeah.
You guys have done a lot of work. I mean, the club as a whole has done a lot of work to bring this thing back.
Right.
You know, King's Dragway, way back in the 50s, it was a heck of a place, and then it drifted away there for a long time, and then the club got a hold of it and has slowly, incrementally brought it back. You've got your guardrails were extended this year.
Yes, yep.
Race and Randy, the new track announcer, was involved with that, like one would absolutely expect, and... The surface had to have a lot of work done to it to get it back to a point where you could race on it, right? The top end of the track, anyway?
The actual racing surface isn't as bad as far as prep work is as it is on the shutdown area, because that's the part that's really more deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of patching going on there to get that. Yeah. And then on the end, it's, you know, like with all the rain we had a lot of water down there.
Sure.
Which has always been a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, they dug some drainage ditches to get the water away, and that helped a lot.
Along both sides of the track?
Yeah, right on the very end, yeah. And then, you know, they did some patchwork down on the end, too.
And then what's, I guess, now you guys, I mean, you're a not-for-profit, right?
Correct.
You're basically taking the money that you guys make from the spectators and stuff like that, and you're basically putting it back into the club to make improvements to the track and do that.
Yep.
Has there been discussions, I guess, as far as, you know, kind of going forward, what the next capital improvement is planning on being?
You know, this year it was... basically getting a new timing system in a tree.
Which is huge.
And it is huge. And, of course, the insurance is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we had to get some bleachers, which we found, and we had to put new boards on those.
Yep.
We got those up. So, you know, anything that comes up, we chisel away at. But it's, you know, we don't have a contract or anything, so we just go year by year.
Okay.
And you just never know.
Sure.
What the future is going to bring.
Right.
So it's not something where we can say, hey, let's, you know, go out and you know, repave the track or something, because we don't know what the future is. So
Right.
It's very hard to base what you're going to put into it, because you don't know what you're going to get out of it.
Now, things like, I mean, the timing system, obviously, let's, you know, say worst case scenario, for some reason you lost your lease and you couldn't come back. Obviously, the timing system is easy for you to, all right, pack that stuff up and take with you.
Right.
But, I mean, grandstands, I mean.
Well, they're just small bleachers. I mean, if we had to, yeah, we could, you know, salvage them. But
just to be clear, there's nothing like that on the horizon, right? I mean, you guys are in the process of trying to secure more seating.
Yes, actually, we are, because we might have some more bleachers available next year, which will be good because we can actually use them.
Yeah.
Because the ones we have are they're small. And we only have four of them, so if we had some,
you can see them in the. Do you see them in the overhead? You can see them on the left side.
Yeah.
You can see them sitting there.
Right.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I guess I would say it's just a bummer. You just never know what's going to happen.
No.
And you know, we've had a couple of instances around here. I mean. Spencer Speedway being one, I mean, Lancaster being another, where you have a drag operational racetrack. I wouldn't even call it a drag strip because, I mean, in both cases, they're combination drag strips and ovals that are being run by people that don't own the property. And then the next thing you know, the property owners say, yep, guess what? We got different plans and you guys aren't doing this anymore. And
guess what? Turn four is going to be Home Depot.
Right. Yeah, it would sure be a bummer. I mean, for as long as the track, as long as South Butler sat dormant, it'd really be a bummer if something like that were to happen.
It would be, with
all the work you guys have put into it to really kind of restore it to some of its former glory. Like I said, it'd be really disappointing. Hopefully that
it would be.
We don't have to talk about that.
What's the current landowner's relationship to the original drag strip? When it was functional?
None.
There's none?
No.
But he's as long as they're cool with what you're doing. Why? Right. There's some other tracks that came to mind as we were talking there about other facilities that were coupled with racetracks. I mean, I don't know how deep your history goes with Central and Eastern New York racing, but I'm pretty sure that Utica Rome had a drag strip.
Yes, it did.
At their track. Fulton had a drag strip at their track. Lebanon Valley, I think, still operates.
Still exists.
Still operates their drag strip.
Yep. But yeah, Utica Rome was one. I mean, Dunkirk, there was a drag strip down at Dunkirk. That's no longer in existence.
Was that at the fairgrounds?
That was actually at the airstrip, is my understanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Obviously, I think we've probably talked about Niagara Dragway in the past as well. That was basically that was a purpose-built drag strip, but it was right next to the Air Force Base. That's no longer in operation either.
That has match races written all over it.
What's that, Niagara?
No, the one on that was right by the Air Force Base.
Oh, Niagara, yeah.
Yeah, you put a car on one side and a plane on the other. And
so sure. Except, I don't know if they went parallel or not. I'd have to look that up. You can still see.
Well, it'd be a whole lot better if they did parallel than if they intersected.
Well, that's for sure.
I'm no engineer, but that sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, they weren't actually on the same. Like I said, it's literally Niagara Falls Air Force Base. So I mean, you could still get to Niagara today. I was there a few years ago on the property. But yes, if you get too close to the Air Force Base, it doesn't take long for the MPs to show up and start asking questions. Hey, what you doing?
Making time passes. What are you doing?
Right. It's a shame though, because Niagara. I mean. It's probably, well, I won't say, I guess I shouldn't say it's beyond repair. Obviously South Butler was dormant for a long time, but, the blacktop is still there for Niagara. So if you wanted to, go make a test pass, you could, but
if you wanted to risk meeting military police.
Oh, that is definitely for sure. Yes. Not to mention the regular police too, because now today you're definitely trespassing on somebody else's property.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. That wouldn't work.
They'll get over it. Oh, that wasn't good. Should have done this. There we go. Man.
Yeah, we want to look at your pretty face anyway.
Struggling to get all these overlays. For some reason, every time I cut to the cameras, it's kicking the audio on. So I'm trying to treat everything like an overlay. And it's like building blocks. And I was never good with building blocks. As I said, I'm not an engineer. John Sierra is joining us on the line. Empire Dragway, they've had a lot of racing action the last couple of weeks. John, you had your race out there. Jason, the Western New York Super Rod Association was out there. John Pelicane was in action. John, I want to get with you first. How's your season been?
What's going on, guys? Season's been good. Winding down now, as they say. Only got a few weeks left. Season's been good. I don't have any complaints. Just trying to wrap things up and try and finish on top, I guess, is the plan.
Where are you right now, John, points-wise?
Right now in pro, I have a 3-point lead over one of the Rickinson brothers.
Okay.
And in street, I'm a few points behind my buddy Sam. So I got 4 points weeks left. So hopefully we can try and finish on top of both. That's the plan anyway. We'll see how it unfolds. But, now,
are you still running the Camaro? I mean, I know you have the truck out, but are you still running the Camaro too?
The Camaro, yep. I still have the Camaro. I've been racing it mostly on Fridays, but this week I'm going to try and torture myself a little extra. It's already at Empire right now. So this week my plan is to run 3 classes for the first time. I'm going to have my truck there in pro and super pro, and I'm going to run the Camaro in street. I tried running the truck in street last week, but it's a 12 flat minimum dial, and I couldn't get the Camaro out there, so I was going 11.60s in the truck and trying to kill 3.5 cents in the quarter to run the 12 flat, and worked for a few rounds, but got hard to go as people were on to what I was doing. So this week we're going to try and do the old-fashioned way with the Camaro in one and the truck in Super Pro and Pro. So I'm going to try and it's going to be a little hectic, but whatever. It's what we're out there to do,
Yeah, and for those that don't know, John decided that regular drag racing, you know, having a single car and having it ready for the beginning of the season and then going out and racing was too easy for him. So he decided to debut his truck mid-season and try and do it that way. So, yeah, it's pretty incredible, honestly, that you're as high up in the points as you are, considering everything that you're trying to do at one time.
Right. Well, you know, the pro route to be the leader hasn't really went the way I thought it would. I thought I would have when we were on the podcast, when me and Timothy and Brad were out there, I talked about having the truck done earlier for the year, but it took a little longer. Every time I decided that I wanted to do something, it took a little longer. And then while I was doing that, you know, I decided I wanted to do something else. And, you know, May turned into April, April turned into May, May turned into June, and then June turned into the third week of August by the time I finally got it out. But it's running great. I mean, I had the Camaro. I was able to hold my ground pretty good in the Camaro in Pro once again. And the Camaro went through another tranny earlier this year, so I was fortunate enough, my buddy Charles White let me borrow his black S10, and I was able to pick up a win and a runner-up to come from behind, so to speak, and then the pro points. So I was running a Camaro, I ran the truck for a couple weeks, and then I got my truck out, and I was able to pick up a win last week in the truck for its first time out, and it's been good. You know, it's on alcohol, it's running a lot better than I thought it would. It's very consistent. I'm looking forward to finishing up the year and going to the bracket finals next week and some other races to see if we can pick up some big bucks with it.
Now, you had your truck ready for the big races that you put on, right? So the 5,000 to win no box and 10,000 to win box race?
Well, yeah, but I don't run my own race. I never have, and I probably never will. That's just something I... you know, we don't really have any money races around here, so a few years ago I decided that it'd be cool to basically run for some big money without a lot of, you know, a lot of these big bracket races, you know, everywhere, you know, 8, 9, 10 rounds to win. So
right.
Came up with a little something where I could, you know, juice up the entry fee a little bit, and you know, there's a lot of entry. I mean, box entry was $500, but I mean, it's also a 5-round race for $10,000. You know, it's certainly worth... certainly a lot of risk, but certainly worth the reward when you consider the money that, you know, a lot of you guys, Jason, I'm sure you know, I mean, a lot of these guys have in their cars. I mean, not a lot of chances to run for 10,000 in the area. Even the no-box guys putting up 250 for 5,000 for 5 rounds.
Right.
It was a smashing deal, and, you know, it was stressful at times. You know, people with other commitments, I didn't think I was going to fill it up, and, you know, box was a couple cars short, but you had 30, but I was still able to pay the 10, just took a little off second. It was a great night. It was a fun time. It's cool to see it all come together. Cool to see everyone racing for that kind of money at your home track, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Clara,
right,
gracious enough to let me put that on, and you know, it's great to watch, it's great to unfold, and it's pretty cool to hand out the big checks at the end of the night, you know.
Well, yeah, and you and I had talked a couple of weeks ago at the IHRA race, and you had said at that point, I think you had 24 entries or something like that at that point in time.
Yeah, box was a little harder to fill for sure with the big entry fee being 500. No box, I had full for. I mean, bet you I've had no box full for probably a month, so minimum.
Right.
I mean, box, I had some people in and out, some things came up, and I was able, you know, the last week where everyone's hemming and hawing, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, you know what? So there's a race going on for $10,000 here, there's spots left, and
right,
not in it, so let me go get in it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where my buddy, my good friend Carl Drake, who's a great racer, he's actually on his way with a few others from around here that are on their way to the All-State Challenge in Memphis, but he had went to New Media. I had 29, and then he had went to New Media that morning, and they had a few sprinkles, and he actually canceled, so... he called me and he said, you know, I'm 5 hours away, can I make it? I said, buddy, you dig here, I'll stall. And he ended up rolling in, you know, and got in a car that wasn't his and put up $500. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, stuff like that come together, just, you know, for people raising some person big cash. So
yeah, and I thought, honestly, I thought the raffle idea that you had too, I thought was a really good idea too, because I was waiting for you to come around and come see me on Saturday, because I would have gone in for another 20. I didn't win the first draw, but I would have gone in for another 20 to see if I could try my luck on the second draw. But I think the raffle was a good idea, honestly, to try and fill those, you know, last couple of spots.
I was trying to give guys an affordable way in, and, you know, help get rid of a spot. And Saturday was just beyond hectic. I mean, I got people coming from all over. I had Canadian guys there. I had guys from all over that I haven't seen. I'm trying, you know, it's a box, no box race with, you know, luckily Super Rod was there to give me, you know, a little bit of time between classes, but I'm trying to double enter. I was running box and no box with my truck and
right,
trying to collect money and then do the raffle. It was just, you could ask Thomas next time you see him, I was just beyond miserable that day. trying not to be the biggest dick ever, but I'm just, like, frustrated. I'm just trying to get everything together, and it was, luckily it all worked out in the end, because it was stressful for a while, but glad it all worked out. I'm sorry I didn't come see you for the raffle. I apologize. I'll make my way over to you maybe next year if I end up doing another one. It was just it was craziness. I finally just went up to the tower and said, you know, guys, I'm doing a raffle. Anybody wants a shot at it, come see me. I'm
right,
not going to anybody else. But it all worked out. It was a good time.
Yeah, and the race went off well. I know, you know, Mark Talmadge, I tried to get in touch with him tonight to see if he wanted to come on the show, too. He's working, unfortunately. But Mark obviously, you know, won the box race in his old school Vega, which is pretty darn cool, I guess. I always like to see the door slammers go home with the big money rather than the, I guess, the new school rear engine dragsters like you fully expect to win. Now, who won the no box race?
No box was won by Reed Rickinson. He's out of Buffalo. He's got a white and red dart, or I'm sorry, not a dart, a duster.
Yep.
That's time to spare on the side of it. There's three brothers. They're a pretty solid races out of Buffalo. He was fortunate enough to come home. He had a great final with Thomas Fletcher. I mean, Thomas is 12, drops the one over, and Reed's high double O and high dead on. Great race. I mean, that's exactly how you would think a $5,000 final should go down. You know, two really good racers, just, you know, both really good. Just one came out on the right end of it, and the other one didn't. It was a good time.
Yeah, and what about the box final? I thought I remember hearing that that was Talmadge beat Bauer, right? RB3?
Mark Talmadge was 004, dead on zero. It'll be 4,000 total. I think Robert was, missed it a little bit. I think he was in the 20s and dead on as well. So, I mean, Mark got down there, killed a little bit against the fast dragster, did what he had to do, and he forced out total to win $10,000.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very happy to, you know, Mark's a great friend of mine. He was, you know, gracious enough to let me keep my truck at his barn shop all winter, and that's where I did all the work. And he's had a heap of troubles this year. He went through a motor in that Vega. He went through a motor in his dragster, so to see him, you know, go through that car wasn't running a week ago, and to see him go through all that, he had the motor back in, and the head was cracked, so it came back out, and to see someone like that thrashing and to get it done in a 10-grander was really cool to see, and I'm very happy for him.
That'll put a nice dent.
Glad to
in
see him, you know, take the big check. He's always told me he's going to get one of them, and he finally did.
Yeah, I have to say, it definitely was cool to see him when, like I said, he's a super good dude, and you know, I he's one of those guys that, you know, there's guys out there, a lot of people obviously love to race, but Mark definitely loves to race, and he doesn't run a high dollar operation, right? So you look at winning the big check, winning $10,000, it's like, man, that's really going to help his racing operation out a lot, especially considering the fact that
right,
he's had a tough season. So yeah, that was definitely cool to see.
Yeah, Mark's a cool guy. He works hard. You know, he's a lot of people don't know this, but he's an electrical engineer by day. You know, he wears slacks and a tie to work, and then he gets out of work and he goes and cuts lawns at, you know, Kim Wyman. She's got a white pickup truck. She races in Super Pro, and she has a few businesses. So he goes to work as an engineer and then gets out and goes and cuts lawns. He hustles. He works hard for what he's got, and he you know, he works hard and he races a lot. I mean, he's down in North Carolina at the beginning of the year, the end of the year when we went last year. I mean, he's that, you know, he's Friday, Saturday, Sunday when he can. You know, he's Lancaster right. Friday, Empire Saturday, S to Sunday. Just, it's crazy the way he does it. He's got the ethic, the work ethic he has is pretty crazy.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of people, obviously, that when you don't know somebody, it's easy to sit in the pits and, you know, say, geez, it must be nice to have all that stuff, right? And it's like, look, it wasn't just given to me. I've been working my butt off to be able to go do this. And, yeah, Mark's kind of the epitome of that. Now, you said you're on your way down to the All-State Championships?
I am not. I was going to go... But, you know, I kind of wanted to stay home and try and win a couple of the points championships. So I decided not to go. Plus, I have a runoff tomorrow for the Summit Super Series to go to Memphis in October. So if I go to Memphis in October, I don't really want to spend, I think I got 10 days of vacation left. So I got to sort of pick and choose. I didn't really have the, they left yesterday and they won't be home until Monday night. So, I mean, I want to blow 4 days here and then somehow win the runoff and then, you know, hey, work. I got to go down there, and you know, when I'm out of time. So I didn't really want to roll the dice in that aspect. Now there's a good chance that tomorrow Clay Ricketson busts my ass in the runoff, and I don't got to worry about going in October. But you know, we'll see what happens when we get to there. But
right.
As far as I had to make the decision, I had to stay home. I'd love to be with my buddies, and Dan Fletcher. He's down there. He's the team captain for Team New York. It's the first ever one, and it's gonna be a cool race. But I have to go next year.
Yeah, no, it definitely sounded like a cool race. Chris, are you familiar with this at all?
No.
Okay, I would say the premise essentially is that each state puts together a team in a bunch of different classes, super gas, super comp, box, no box. I don't know, I think they...
It's a little more, it's a little different than that. They have a, in the 90 categories, they're going to rotate every year. This is the first year they're doing it, and the first one they chose was 890.
Oh, okay.
So it's 890. Everyone has to have an 890 driver. Everybody has to have a female. Everybody has to have a top bulb door car, a top bulb dragster, obviously.
Yeah.
A bottom bulb car, stock super stock, and they have to have a utility driver. Now, a utility driver is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to hit the top one round, then round two he's going to have to hit the bottom bulb, and then I don't know if they're going to hit the middle, third round, or what the plan is, but I know they have to be versatile on what bulb they're leaving at.
Yep.
Hit the bottom one round, the top one round, or and vice versa.
And so then what they're doing is they're doing an actual championship, so whoever basically goes the farthest can claim at the end of the event. All right, New York has the baddest drag racers.
So it's points among the divisions within the team, and they crown a champion that way? Or is it just who goes deepest?
So you get points for each driver, and then whoever is going to be, you know, whatever team basically compiles the most points at the end of the event is
That's cool.
Is the, you know, state champion. Mm-hmm. Well, let's call it, the team is the champion of the entire event. And, it definitely sounds pretty darn cool. Now, I don't know. I mean, other than Dan, I don't know who the other drivers are for New York. Do you know everybody? I'm sure Thomas and Timothy are on it, right?
Yep. It is Dan is the captain and 890 driver. Stock, super stock, I believe, is going to be Thomas. Top all door car, I think, is Joey LaRose. Dragster is Carl Drake. Timothy, I believe, is they're going to jostle things around, but I know it's Dan, Thomas, Timothy, Carl Drake, Joey LaRose, Peter Dagnolo, and I believe the female is the guy that owns Vintage. I believe it is his girlfriend, who's our female driver. But I would take that team against any other team in the country, that's for sure. I mean, there's, you know, a bunch of really good dudes that spend a lot of time on race cars. So, I mean, I'm confident in their abilities, and hopefully they can get it done.
Yeah, that's cool. Definitely pretty.
I'm kind of mad I'm missing it, but
next year you'll be on the team.
Quartermania. What's that?
Next year you'll be on the team.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it definitely it's definitely a scout team that that Dan put together for sure. And I hope that they post results online kind of as things are going, because I definitely would like to keep track of what's going on with this as it's happening.
Right, it's going to be there's a lot going on. There's the Allstate race itself, and then right now there's a dragster race going on. I believe Dan Fletcher is in the dragster race. It's a $1,000 entry. Winner gets an American race car dragster. And then tomorrow, I believe, is a 10 grander. I believe 10 or a 20. And then Saturday is a 50 grander. And then I think Sunday is a 10 or a 20 as well. So there's a lot going on. They have a few four races. There's certainly a lot going on. A man needed to leave the house with a lot of money to go down there and participate in all the events. That's how much I do know.
Well, that's cool.
You can make all that back.
What was that?
You can, the right guy, you can make all that back, though.
Oh, you can, yeah. I mean, all you got to do is win 150 grander, right? And that's a pretty nice win for the season, for sure.
Most up, for sure.
But, yeah, and sure. To John's point earlier, we don't really have a lot of big-dollar bracket races like that around here. Are the races that they have out at ESTA, are those 10 granders?
Yes, Vince Mussolino did this year was the first year he did a bottom ball race. He had a couple $5,000 bottom ball races in June and in July, which usually coincides with he picked a good weekend for his box race. He has a couple tens in July. The same weekend we had our Gold Cup.
Right.
At Empire, the nostalgia race is the weekend he had his out there, yeah.
But, I mean, that's...
We're starting to... I think we're going to try and do something in Empire next year. Got to get with a couple people on it, because... There's certainly not a lot like that in our area. You got to travel to do it, and it'd be cool to do it around here. I mean,
I was going to say. I mean, I think that's it, honestly. I mean, I think your races and Mussolino's races, and that's pretty much it for high dollar bracket races.
That's pretty much it. And everyone told me, when I got done announcing on Saturday, they're like, "Well, why don't we do more of these?" And it's like, "Well, I would love to, but tell a guy that he's got to come up with $500 for entry." Twice a year instead of once. It was hard enough to get it full as it is.
Right.
Well, there's so much stuff going on nowadays where there's races, the races all over the place. We really gotta pick, you gotta pick a good weekend or it's just gonna be dead in the water. I mean, everyone tells me all the time, well, if you didn't pick Labor Day, we'd come. But it's like, well, if I do it a weekend that appeases you, then there's three other guys that are gonna be doing something else. I had a lot of guys in there, Davey Markle and Peter Dagnolo and Thomas and Timothy. They all run a lot of Division I NHRA stuff. So if I pick a weekend that's on one of those, I lose four or five there. And if I pick one, I'm picking the lesser of two evils, I guess we should say,
Hey, trust me.
Labor Day High Roller.
I know your pain, right?
I'm going to say the Labor Day High Roller, I guess.
Yeah, I know your pain. I mean, I heard it last weekend when we were out there with the Western New York Super Auto Association stuff that, there were multiple guys that we lost because it was on Labor Day. And, I figured I would give it a try to see what kind of attendance we got. And, it's tough. It's really hard to find free weekends that people are like, I don't have anything going on.
Right. So. Exactly right. It is exactly right. I mean, it's just there's something going on everywhere. There's the bottom ball, a lot of the bottom ball guys. I mean, no box wasn't a problem to fill, but, there was a bunch of guys that were in Canada for some other stuff going on, and then it was on the same weekend as the 310s in Norwalk.
Right.
Grand Nationals, they call it. I mean, there's stuff going on, and I've thought about changing the weekend, but it's just not going to happen. I mean, Jerry's real cool about it. He lets me run the race there and without taking, minimal money out of the, I take minimal money out of the purse, and it's just, that's the night I'm going to have it. If you can come, you can come. If you can't, you can. I'm sorry.
Right.
Maybe next time,
Well, you did, if nothing else, you did a real good job announcing. I think you got potentially another career if you decide to quit the racing and you want to become an announcer.
Well, Jerry told me that I need to announce, but there's zero plans on the horizon for quitting racing. So it is fun to do. I will say it's a blast to be on the mic. It's really cool to, look at your guys' reaction times when you leave and then call the race and call the stripe. And it's fun. It really is. I got up there a little bit for Saturday at the ISRA Divisional and had a blast. And a couple times I get on the mic a year, I do have a good time, and it is fun, but I belong out there on the racetrack for the most part.
I hear you. And the proof is in the proof is so in the right points
leg,
with that.
So my right leg falls off, I'm going to be can't push the pedal anymore. I'm going to be in the car.
I can't blame you. Like I said, if you look at the point standings, you can certainly reason that that you absolutely positively belong behind the wheel for sure.
We're trying. I mean, I'm going to try and win them both. But we're going to see what happens. Got to, winning two will be hard, but we're going to give it a shot. I mean, this far in the year, going to give it a shot. I mean, I'd love to win two. Love to race for free next year because, that's what we're out here to do. I mean, winning 2 points championships in the same year would probably increase my odds of winning the grand championship, so we'll see how that goes.
Right, right, yeah. Well, we'll be. I'll be out there Saturday too with the TNT series, so I'll be rooting you on while I'm out there racing myself.
That's right. I forgot about the 1090 series. That's wrapping up this week. I think they have one more race on Friday, and then I think Saturday is the points finale. So yeah. That should be good.
Yeah,
my buddy Tom Coonley is the current leader.
Oh, he is. I guess I'll have to, if I can. I don't like going out and being a spoiler from a point standpoint. I have to say the last couple of years I've gone out and raced the last race of the year. It's just that's the way it's gone. And I've generally done pretty well at it, but I always feel bad when I'm racing against one of the regulars because I don't have anything to gain. I'm just running for the money and the plaque at the end of the night. So I always feel bad. So I'll have to try and stay away from Tom if I can.
You know what? You paid your money, and you're there to win just like anybody else is. You know, the way the cards fall, sometimes you're going to go down on 11 and hit the paint. Sometimes you're going to go down on 11 and hit for 12. Just however it falls, it falls. Whatever you get, you know?
Right, yeah. I definitely won't take it easy on anybody, but I just don't like to ruin somebody's season either.
So you pull up next to the points leader, you don't expect a red light?
I do not, no. That doesn't mean that I won't, but I definitely do not expect to.
No free rounds.
Right.
John, we're getting to the top of the hour. I was wondering if there's anybody that you wanted to make mention of here before we let you go so you can finish prepping the car for this weekend.
What's that, buddy? I didn't hear you.
Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of? Any sponsors, anybody that helps out, helps make sure that you get the car and the truck to the track week after week?
Not a lot of sponsors, but, I can't help but thank my buddy Charles White and Mark Talmadge. Sure. You know, those two guys, Charles would do anything for anybody. You know, he's one of the nicest guys out there. Me and him spent hours and hours and hours laying underneath that truck, doing anything you can do. He was there during the day when I was at work, just doing stuff, just doing anything he could to help me. He didn't want anything for it in return, you know what I mean? I got a lot of work done, and all I did was, bring him a Sprite every day. That's all he wanted was a 20-ounce Sprite every time I came out there. And the guy would be dirty from head to toe. We'd be dirty from head to toe leaving there, and he was just, he was happy to see the truck running so well. We talk every day, and I wouldn't be able to do any of the stuff I'm doing without him. When my Camaro broke, he was there for me. I texted him. I said, "Hey, buddy, I know you don't want to double your truck in the quarter, but I kind of need it. What do you say?" And he didn't even hesitate. He said, "Whatever you need, you got it." And I owe my points leading pro to him. Without him for those 2 weeks, I don't know where I would be. So I owe that guy a lot. My dad, couldn't keep the truck there. He's got a lot of stuff going on at the shop, but he's helping me with parts and stuff. Lance Pino, helping me do all sorts of things, Thomas, Pete, Dagnolo, Mr. Dagnolo, just always there to help whenever I need it. Those are the people that I really lean on in life. Mr. D, who's always been there. Mr. Dagnolo fixed my Camaro for me every time it breaks. Gets me right in, drop of a hat, Bob Alaska in Buffalo. Anytime I needed them, just drop the Camaro off and get it fixed. So, those people really, help me when I need it, Never, say no or they're too busy. So I got to think without those people, I wouldn't, what little I do have wouldn't be functioning as well as it does, I guess we'll say.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. Congratulations on the High Roller Show. Looks like it was a success and wish you the best going forward with that. And, of course, good luck this weekend. Hope you can pull that title down, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys. Go watch some football. Opening night tonight, half hour.
Yep. That's
home and watch some football.
That's where we're going. See you later, John.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, bye. Thanks. See you, John.
See ya. There goes John Cira. Appreciate everybody hanging out and watching along with us. We're going to try and cap this one so that we can get it on the cable access channel. Jason, appreciate you making the trip in to hang out with us for a little while here in the studio. Rapid Randy from South Butler Nostalgia Dragway getting ready for their last race of the season coming up at the end of this month. That's going to do it for us here from the North Park building at Academy Square at Finger Lakes One.com headquarters. We're going to be back again in 2 weeks. Next Thursday is going to be the 31st lap. We're back on a regular rotation for our Motorsports Thursdays. We'll catch up with you then. Thanks a lot.
This has been the Final Round Drag Racing Podcast, coming to you live from the Finger Lakes One.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. We'll see you right back here again in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching.